Hello and welcome to 6 Minute Sermons, where we explore the Word, learn the truth, and grow in grace, 6 minutes at a time. I'm your host, Cameron O'Daniel. For the next couple of 6 Minute Sermons, I'm going to do something a little bit different than what I've done previously. Previously, I have taken a verse or a few verses, and I've just talked about those verses, I've given the context, and I've explained them biblically. And this is a good thing to do, but for the next couple of weeks, each day, what I want to do is focus in on one chapter of the Bible. And I'm not going to do this for every single episode I do in the future for forever, but I do want to do it for this chapter. And the chapter I want to focus on is Romans 8. And the reason I want to walk through Romans 8, we're going to walk through it little by little, so it'll take us a few weeks probably. But the reason I want to walk through chapter 8 of Romans is because there is so much good doctrine. There is so much good truth in this chapter that we can dissect and learn and grow from. Not just learn and grow for the sake of us applying this in our activity, but applying this in the way we see the world, in the way we see Christianity and Christ and God and ourselves. So let's dive in. I'm going to read the first two verses of Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So when we talk about the beginning of Romans chapter 8, we need to realize that when Paul wrote the Bible, or when Paul wrote his letters and his epistles and literally every other book inside the Bible, the books were not written with chapters and verses. Those were added later for the sake of dividing things apart so that we can understand it a little bit better and divide it a little bit better. But Paul did not write Romans in this way. And so in reading the first two verses of chapter 8, in order to understand why he wrote this, we need to go back to chapter 7. So at the very end of chapter 7, Paul is basically explaining this struggle he has internally. He talks about how he wants to do good, but the good that he wants to do, he doesn't do that. And the bad that he does not want to do, he does not desire to do the bad, but he ends up doing that. He ends up doing the bad. And he says this, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" So he's acknowledging the fact that he wants to do good, but he's not doing it. And he does not want to do bad, but he is doing the bad. And he's acknowledging that fact, and he is coming to the realization and saying, not coming to the realization, he's already come to the realization, he's just writing it out for us to understand, but he has come to this realization and he says, "Woe is me, wretched man that I am, who is going to save me? Who's going to save me from this body of death?" And then he goes on to talk about Jesus in verse 25, the last verse in chapter 7, right before chapter 8. Paul says this, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin." So Paul is basically explaining that in his mind, in what he is thinking and desiring, he serves God. But because he is corrupted by the flesh, he's not able to live out these desires perfectly. He desires to live them out, and he tries as hard as he can to live out these desires because he is now a Christian and because he is now believing in Jesus, but he is not able to perfectly live them out as he wants to because of our flesh, because we still have this corrupted world that we live in, this corrupted body that we find ourselves. And that's what Paul is talking about when he says, "Wretched man that I am." And so, even though Paul says this, to give a clarifying thing, Paul is not making an excuse for sin. He's not saying, "Oh, you're in this body of death. You're in the flesh. Just, you know, do whatever you want. You obey. You're covered by grace now. Do whatever you want." No. In Romans chapter 6, Paul says Should we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And he says, by no means, God forbid. So this is all the context leading into chapter 8 at the very beginning. And he says this, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So because of the grace of God and God sending Jesus down to die on the cross for our sins, we don't have condemnation. The Bible says that, or Jesus says that, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. So we don't have any condemnation in Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life, verse 2, has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So the law of sin and death, in which we were given eyes to see this law of sin and death, this caused us to be condemned. But in Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life has set us free. What does this mean? What this means is that although before Christ, we were condemned, we know this from the beginning of Romans chapter 1, all the way through Romans chapter 3, we stand condemned through the law. And even if we don't know the law, there is a law on our hearts. So we stand condemned. But Jesus came not to condemn. The law already did that. The law already condemned us. Jesus came to save us from this condemnation. And that is what Paul is talking about. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus has set us free, and there is no condemnation in Him whatsoever. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. He is enough. Jesus, I thank You for the fact that we have salvation and freedom in You. There is no condemnation in You, and we praise You for that. And I pray that You would bring people to know You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.